It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up, Senate Republicans denied the confirmation of the state's agriculture secretary last November, prompting strong criticism from the governor. We'll talk with the new interim person in that position about what he plans to focus on in 2020. First, keeping a diary isn't just for kids. As adults, we might prefer to call it a journal, but the act of writing things down, whether it's lists, what you did today, whatever comes to your mind, can have all kinds of benefits. Author and humorist David Sedaris has kept a diary since 1977. Here he is in an interview with The Atlantic talking about when he first started to keep a diary.
I was 20 years old, and I was in the Pacific Northwest hitchhiking around, and I wrote on the back of a placemat. And then the next day I did it again, and then the next day I did it again. I've wished that I had more interesting things to say, but I've never had to force myself to write in my diary.
We want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Have you ever kept a journal or a diary in the past or right now? Did you do it as a kid, as a grown-up? What purpose has it served to you? What kind of things, if you're willing to share, do you write in it or draw in it or type in it? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Diane Barth is a New York City-based psychotherapist and writes the column Off the Couch for Psychology Today, where she's written about journaling. She's the author of several books, including I Know How You Feel, The Joy and Heartbreak of Friendship in Women's Lives. Diane, thanks a lot for joining us again today.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Rob. Thanks for having me.
I understand, Diane, that you have kept some form or another of a journal for quite a while. What got you started?
Probably the same thing that gets every little girl started. Somebody gave me a diary and I started writing in it. And, for me, it was always fun. So, I just have written since I could write.
A lot of people have fun with their diaries or their journals, but it sounds like it can be kind of serious fun. What are some of the benefits to us of doing something, what if we call it a diary, journal, whatever?
Well, I want to back up for a second because a lot of people don't have fun writing in a diary or a journal. I mean, a lot of people are intimidated by it. So I want to preface this with the idea that part of what is nice is if you can find a way to make it fun, and that means taking off all the pressure. So there are lots of benefits to keeping a journal or a diary or some sort of record of your thoughts on a napkin or on a coaster from a bar. But the main things are it helps you clarify your thoughts. It helps you keep track of yourself. And it also, for a lot of people, it's a way of solving problems. And it turns out that there's actually some health benefit to it. I mean, if you write the kind of things where you're just writing out some of the difficulties that you're struggling with, it can relieve stress, and relieving stress can have a tremendous impact on your immune system.
Let's dig into
research for that.
Let's dig into your preface a little bit there. A lot of people, and I include myself, might think, okay, I'm going to try to do this, and I'll speak just for myself here, and I feel kind of silly. I got nothing to say. There's nothing important I'm going to write down here. How do we overcome that initial, I guess, self-consciousness?
Yeah. So there are lots of different ways of starting. And there are a million books about it, but one of the ones that I like is The Artist's Way. It's Julia Cameron. She just talks about every morning you get up, you write 3 pages. It doesn't matter what you say in the 3 pages. I think 3 pages for a lot of people is intimidating.
Oh, yeah.
So I say write a paragraph. And don't worry about what you're saying. I had a friend who was a writer many years ago who he didn't keep a journal in the morning. He got up and wrote in the morning, and he said he would just sit there. And this was, you'll see how long ago it was. He would sit in front of his typewriter and put a blank, white piece of paper into the typewriter, and he would just sit there till he had a thought, and then he'd write a sentence. And maybe that would be all he'd get out, or maybe that sentence would get him to write something else. But the easiest way to write, to start any kind of journaling, is just to give yourself a 15-minute period where you sit down and you You just write whatever comes to your mind. But there are other ways. So there are also, I was actually talking to my brother about this, who has been a longtime journal keeper. And what he uses his for problem solving. So his books are full of not paragraphs about himself, but like bullet points. You know, this is, here's the problem, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Here are the solutions, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And he says that writing it down for him means that he almost always comes up with a sixth or a seventh solution that he wasn't thinking about in his head.
Talking to Diane Barth, New York City-based psychotherapist. We're talking about keeping a journal or keeping a diary or daily lists or gratitude journal, whatever you want to call it. You could join in at 800-642-1234 with your own experiences. Want to go back to a humorist, David Sedaris, famous a diary keeper, talk about what he does with some of his writings.
My advice to a young writer who wants to start a diary or keep one going is to not read over what you wrote yesterday, because it's going to stink. Do it for a year before you go back. Just give yourself some distance.
What do you think about that, Diane? The idea of don't read it tomorrow, whatever you happen to write, but it's more worthwhile to go back with some time between the writing and the reading.
Absolutely. And there are some people who never read what they wrote. And the thing is, I think it's important to remember that you don't have to want to be a writer for journaling to be useful. So you can write down your thoughts and never, ever go back and look at them. It's not important. Some people do. Some people go back and look. One person was telling me that they went back and looked at old things to see where they were in terms of a particular issue or something that they're struggling with, where they were last year, where they were 6 months ago. I couldn't do that with my journaling because I don't keep any kind of track of it. So I wouldn't know how to find the same problem. And by the way, I do my journaling by hand. So I can't look up a keyword on the computer. But I think that what David Sedaris is talking about is really important, which is that it's important not to censor yourself. And if you go back and look at what you wrote yesterday, chances are good you're going to want to edit it and censor it, even if you're not doing it for, to be a writer.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Tina is with us in Kenosha. Tina, hi.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Good. What do you want to tell us about?
Well, I started keeping a diary when I was a young girl, the Dear Diary, got it as a Christmas present. And I do that now for my grandnieces. I buy them a diary every Christmas since it's the end of the year and the beginning of the new year. I had all those for a long, 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 long time. And then probably in my 20s, I threw them all away, and I am so mad at myself.
Oh, no.
Oh.
And then I journaled for many years in my 30s and 40s, and then I stopped doing it. I still have them, and I think it's value, what the other guy said, to look back at that, because I have done that. I've read journals, and then I say, oh, my God, I'm living the same life I did then, or the same problems. And especially back in my 20s and 30s and 40s, it was either a relationship or a situation or whatever. Well, I decided when I bought this year's journals for my nieces, and I also bought one for my nephew, is to get one for myself and start doing it again.
Oh, great.
Because I'm finding that I have too many thoughts in my head, and that if I do write them down, there tends to be more clarification.
Tina, thank you so much. Diane, what do you think of Tina's story?
Oh, well, there's so many important points there. One is that we often throw away our old journals and live to regret it. But on the other hand, we don't always go back and look at them. So even if you keep them, sometimes you never go back. But in terms of using your journaling to clarify your thinking, I think that's really what it's all about. And I think that's part of why it's important not to censor yourself, because it's really it's a chance to think out your own thoughts. And in this day and age, when we're all so anxious and stressed, it's also a chance to sort of not just get some clarity about what you're concerned about, but sort of let it out, let it just be somewhere so you can almost dump it out of you and let it be on the page. And then I also think that what she was saying about clarifying your thoughts is a way of making sure that you're not holding on to thoughts that are problematic for you.
And one quick thought. Everybody's getting little girls' journals, it sounds like, and young girls. Yeah. I never got a journal. What's up with that?
I thought it was so neat that she said that she bought one for her nephew. It, I mean, it is so often thought of as something that girls do, but boy, I have a young guy who I worked with who was going off to college, and he decided to keep a journal as a way of sort of staying in touch with the work we had been doing.
Talking to Diane Barth, New York City-based psychotherapist and author. She writes a column in Psychology Today. She's written about journaling there, and we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Do you keep a journal of some sort, however you define it? What kind of things do you keep track of? Do you go back and read them later? Call 800-642-1234, or if you need some inspiration, 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We pick up our conversation with psychotherapist and author Diane Barth. She writes a column in Psychology Today. She's written there, among other things, about the benefits of keeping a journal. That's what we're talking about. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your stories or questions, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll go back to our callers now. Andy is with us in Escanaba. Hi, Andy.
Hi, Rob. Hi, Diane.
Hi, Andy.
Typical in a relationship, in a marriage, there's a lot of sometimes difficult times, and I find if you keep your feelings bottled up, they come out in snips and barbs and temper tantrums, and I was not feeling comfortable with how things were going. I started journaling, writing down what had happened, how I felt about it, trying to get the thoughts out of my head so they didn't come out as a barb that was damaging, and trying to look at them on paper for a day, and I did that for about a week, and then I opened it up one day, and my wife actually started answering all my issues on the bottom, telling me I was a jerk, I got it wrong. Yeah, the whole perspective is selfish, and I had no business having those feelings. And that was the last time I journaled.
Whoa. Okay, Andy, a cautionary example there, Diane. Journaling might be best done solo.
Well, or not, but it needs to be agreed on.
Right.
I think the problem is that was your private journal, and somehow it wasn't allowed to be private. But that's a really, really common thing that we journal, and then somebody else gets hold of it, and then we have to deal with their reactions to whatever we've journaled. I think it really is important to make sure that you've got a way of keeping it private. Or if it's going to be something that somebody's going to see, to be ready to find a way to interact with them over it.
Thanks a lot for that call. Sorry that happened. And Diane, assuming we can keep it out of other people's hands, can you talk about the value of working through maybe those conflicts in our daily lives, as he was trying to do in a journal of some sort?
Yeah. I mean, I thought that was that's a great way of talking about it. Sorry. Now, I do think
That's okay. I'll give you just a minute to clear your throat. We're talking to Diane Barth, psychotherapist. We're talking about journaling, keeping a journal, keeping a diary, a gratitude diary, a list of stuff you did today, whatever you want to call it. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. I'm sorry, Diane, you were saying?
I think that writing out your conflicts and trying to get a handle on them is one really important way of using a journal. It's also, journals can be so many other things as well. So I think it's really important not to just think that that's the only way to have them. I was thinking about your question about, do boys journal? And we've got some examples of famous men who journaled a lot, including Leonardo da Vinci. I mean, his notebooks are famous, and he wasn't just talking about feelings. He was also talking about his design ideas, or he was writing about his design ideas and also designing his design ideas. So some journals are not private, but I do think that one of the important things is when it is private that you make sure that you keep your stuff separate or in a place where other people won't get to it. I worked with one man who whose wife had been a major journaler, and he had never read any of the things that she wrote, and then she passed away, and he destroyed all of her notebooks. And her children were very upset because they felt like he had thrown away something that was maybe would have given them some insight into her or helped them stay close to her. And he said, no, it really was her private world, and it wasn't for anybody else, and he wasn't going to let anybody else read it.
Let's go back to our callers now. Paul is with us in Platteville. Paul, hello.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
What did you want to bring up, Paul?
So it's funny, I actually called about kind of the same thing that Andy was talking about, not specifically personally, but I was curious what your thoughts were on having journals be public versus private, and, you know, and talking about getting one for my daughter, you know, the cute little ones with lockets on it. Do I encourage her to let us read them or let her make the decision or encourage her to have them be public?
Oh, interesting. Thanks for that call, Paul. What do you recommend to a parent getting that first diary for a daughter in this case?
That is a really, really important question. And I think that I would start out with the idea that it is hers and that it is her private place to write whatever she wants to, but that if she would like to share it with you, you would be happy to share it with her. And the way I would work it is to either let her read to you out of what she's written, or let her sit with you while you read it so that you can, it becomes a discussion. It's not a way of sneaking in and finding out something about her. And that's something I think that you and she have to sort of talk about together, but I think it's really important that it be a discussion, that it not be something that you do without her knowledge or permission, but also that she doesn't feel that she has to make it public.
Thanks a lot for the call. Let's go now to Tiffany in La Crosse. Tiffany, hi.
Hi. So I was telling what I had found after like this whole journaling craze had kind of come back up was the journals with journaling prompts in them. So it was kind of like a little snippet of like write about your favorite picture or write about this kind of memory or something like that. And a lot of them, like there's themed ones where I found like for expecting mothers so they could kind of like write about their childhood and then give that to their child as they grew up. And I really enjoyed those. I think even like the person who just can't get a grip on journaling, those are just perfect.
Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think that's for everybody, but that's the whole point of journaling. There's so many different ways to do it. And that's a really great one for someone who's having troubles just sort of finding something to write about.
Thanks a lot for that call. That reminds me, we heard from Mary on Facebook who writes, I've kept a journal for my 21-year-old son since 3 months before he was born. Not every day, just when the spirit moves me. Events, anecdotes, family history, a recipe, reflections, and always love and appreciation. That's an interesting approach, too, writing it for a kid as they grow up.
Yes, yes. And I think it can also be a wonderful experience for a kid. I think what Mary said is so important, that she kept it with love and appreciation, that it's really important that a journal that you're that you're writing for somebody doesn't have criticism and negative things. It can have funny stories. It can have memories of times that were hard, but it's important that if it's going to somebody else, that it maintain a positive way for them to think about themselves.
Let's go back to our callers. Marilyn is with us in Crivitz. Marilyn, hi.
Hi, nice to speak with you this afternoon. This is a subject that's pretty dear to my family. My 104-year-old grandmother has kept a journal, daily journal, since she was very, very young. Yes, and she started every entry out with the date and the weather, indicating the temperature and whether it was cloudy or sunny. And she meticulously recorded current events, government, political-type events, because she was always very interested in that, as well as just details of everyday life. She lived through the Depression, obviously, through some very hellacious wars and things, and, of course, everyday family life. About 10 years ago, she put together her autobiography using the notes in her journal.
Wow.
And that consists of five subject spiral-bound notebooks like you would use in school that have the folder dividers in them, and the dividers are just chock full of photographs and newspaper articles and other memorabilia, and they're all handwritten. So there's five of those, and we also still have all of her journals, and believe me, there's a lot of them.
What a treasure, Marilyn. Thank you so much. Not everybody's going to go to that level, Diane, but what a great thing to have, isn't it?
Yes, yes. So what a gift to your children and grandchildren.
Thanks a lot for that call. Time for one more caller. I think Heather is with us in Madison. Heather, hi.
Hi. I was wondering if you think it matters if you write it out in longhand or type it, because for me, I'm not a very good typist. When I type, I'm trying to concentrate on how to spell the words correctly with, you know, where my hands are going with the keys, not so much necessarily the thought per se.
Heather, thanks a lot.
Sorry.
Go ahead, Diane.
I'm just so glad you brought that up, Heather, because that is such a question. There are people who believe it is only going to work if you do it longhand, and there are people who believe it doesn't matter, and there are people who believe that it's only going to work if you do it on a typewriter. And my feeling is it doesn't matter, that you do whichever one makes the most sense for you. I know people who do, who have reams and reams and reams of notebooks filled with longhand, and I know people who have just it's on their computer. The thing that I think is really important is what we were talking about before, is the privacy issue, and that if you if it's on a computer, or you know, blogs are a way of journaling. A lot of people keep blogs, and there are all sorts of online sites for doing journals that are supposed to be private. The thing that I always worry about is if it's on a computer, if it's on somehow on the internet, how private is it in fact?
Diane, we'll leave it there. Thank you so much for joining us. That's Diane Barth, New York City-based psychotherapist, writer of the column Off the Couch at Psychology Today. She joined us for a look at journaling. You can keep sharing your thoughts over at the Ideas Network Facebook page. I'm Rob Ferret. This is Central Time.